everybody. Welcome to episode 16 of the Bob Culture Podcast. We are here with the grandmaster of the Ripped Artist Group himself. He's lent his talents to the likes of the Smashing Pumpkins, Hawthorne Heights, and Taking Back Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, the founder and CCO of Ripped Apparel, the one and only Mr. Paul Fremo. Paul, thanks for a few minutes. Welcome, man. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing just fine. It's a wonderful Wednesday here in Chicago.
Yeah, man. I wanted to ask real quick before we get into anything. I had my buddy Carlo Cooper on, who invented these drumsticks a while ago, and he's in Chicago, and I forgot to ask him on the podcast, how's the pizza over there?
Oh, it's very diverse, you could say. It's not just deep dish.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Locals don't really eat the deep dish. That's kind of a tourist thing.
See, I'm asking like very touristy questions, but I've never been out there, so. But I'll definitely, hopefully, one day get out there.
All right. I mean, any kind of pizza you like, it's out here.
Awesome. Well, they say like Chicago has good pizza, and Jersey and New York have good pizza, and everywhere else is, you know, not so much.
Yeah, it's definitely a competition.
Oh yeah. All right. So, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Like your background. You're obviously you're a businessman now, but you were an artist, man. What's your background like?
Well, I don't know if I was ever a full-fledged artist compared to some of the people I work with these days, but I definitely dabbled in all that stuff, and that's what led me to go to college for graphic design, and just got a degree there, ended up moving to Chicago, got my first job at Victory Records, and had a really great time there, did a lot of album art, built up their video department from the ground up, and started making tons of commercials, that kind of thing. And after that, did a lot of production art there too, which is important. Learned how to get files from outside artists and then massage them into a print-ready format, which is a lot of what got me started at Ripped. Because getting files from like freelancers or even professional artists or novices, I mean, they you never know what you're going to get when those files come through, and you have to, do a lot of work to make sure they are going to be ready for mass production. And it's kind of a specific skill. You really can't get it from college. You have to kind of experience it yourself. But so after my time at Victory, I ended up getting a job as the webmaster for SmashingPumpkins.com.
Nice.
And this was like around the Zeitgeist era. They're my favorite band, so I was pretty excited.
No way. That's awesome.
Still not even sure how the stars aligned for that, but that was a really great experience working with Billy and Jimmy and the new members of the band as well, and just kind of like going from being in my own small band, back in Iowa, then working for a record label, then working for a major label artist. I've kind of worked the spectrum of the music industry, and it was really great learning experience.
That's awesome, man. So wait, you play? Do you play, or you were in a band, obviously, you were saying, right?
Yeah. Actually, my business partner, TJ, and I, we started a band in high school and went through college, and we did a few things. I mean, we were a Midwest band. There wasn't too much we could do, but we did end up playing the Warped Tour.
What?
States, which was felt pretty awesome. At like 21, doing something like that. That was a lot of fun.
That's
I think we might have been 20.
Dude, you have 21. That's awesome, man. You have quite the resume, man. That's really, really cool. I'm from Jersey, obviously. Asbury Park area is where we play out. The band.
Bamboozle.
Bamboozle. This is a Springsteen territory. I'm right down the street from East Street, the East Street band and all that. So, but are you guys still playing or not anymore?
Nah, I mean, TJ and I ended up in Chicago at the same time. We're like, oh, this is the time we can do another band. And we started one, and we got about 6 months in, and then our singer quit. And we had to really, what we thought was kind of the most mature music we'd ever done, but then it kind of fell apart. But you know what? We started Ripped that same year. So I think we made a pretty good trade from the band that never played anywhere to starting a business.
Isn't that crazy? See, dude, I had no idea you were in a band, man, so I can relate to that. And, you know, Ripped's obviously one of my favorite t-shirt sites. I mean, it is my favorite t-shirt site. So that's crazy, man. That's a cool story. And I guess, getting right into it, how did you know, you go from being in a band to starting Ripped? I would say, how many years ago was that? How long's Ripped been around now?
Ripped has been around since 2009.
Oh, okay.
When we, like, actually January of 2009 is where we sort of formulated the plan, and then by May we had the business put together, and then we started the website on June 8th, 2009. So we're coming up on our 8th birthday this year, which will actually be our golden birthday if businesses have golden birthdays.
Yeah. I got you, man. My guess was 10 years, because I was definitely, you know, there when you guys started. And I remember it was one t-shirt a day it used to be. Now we're up to three, which is even better.
Yeah. You know, kind of humble beginnings, but the whole layout, the whole landscape was a lot different back then. You know, there was Threadless at the time, and T-Fury had already existed, and you know, Shirtboot was there, but then we kind of, you know, then we just saw an opportunity to do something that our me and my two friends' skill sets would all kind of complement each other, and we thought, well, let's try this business, and we each threw $1,000 in, so we started with $3,000, and we're able to make this actually work from the get-go.
No kidding. Wow, well, good for you, man. Come a long way, I'll tell you that, man. That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So you guys, you said it was three of you. You guys got together, you started Ripped. Now, was the original concept just to kind of create these parody sci-fi pop culture t-shirts and sell them one a day? Were you initially trying to get, you know, independent artists involved? What was the concept?
Oh, yeah. At the core, we were just trying to reach out to t-shirt artists that we thought had really cool designs that, you know, we believed in, and we didn't really know what would sell or what wouldn't, and we just were trying stuff that we thought looked cool, and we had to reach out to a lot of artists ourselves back then, and I don't think you could formally submit yourself, like there was no automated process, it was all like via email, so I was writing, I spent my life in email back then. Email and Photoshop, but it was always about indie artists and, you know, paying them a cut, you know, to help them, you know, they would get something out of it and so would we, and it wasn't really pop culture-y back then. I mean, there's, if you could, I've seen it happen day by day for the last 8 years, but if you could, like, take a timeline and look back, we did not do a lot of what we do now back then. It's changed quite a bit.
Absolutely.
Over the 8 years. And it started with one shirt, and it was just men's t-shirts. Then we started adding different product types. We added like 3X, 4X, 5X sizes, hoodies. You know, it started with just adding products well before we decided to do multiple designs per day.
And now you got the coasters, you got the posters, you got the sweatshirts. I think you got some for like toddlers and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I mean we've changed the product line quite a few times. You know, we add stuff, we take stuff away. It kind of depends. We'll test some things out. Sometimes the production workflow can dictate what we're going to be able to sell or not, because you can't just put 1,000 products up there. You know, it's just not feasible, and plus it makes the consumer a little bit confused on what they should be buying. And certain things it's hard to keep at a kind of a competitive price point. You know, like our shirt started at $10, now they're up to $13 as the base price.
Yeah, and over over 8 years, that's pretty darn good, man. You know, keep it that low. That's awesome.
Yeah, the price point has always been really important to us, and we never expected to increase it, but at some point it just made fundamental sense, you know, to raise the price a dollar here or a dollar there.
Definitely, man. Well, you guys are doing a great job. And, you know, for everyone listening, obviously it's rippedapparel.com. R.I.P.T. In fact, you guys had that really cool logo with the R that kind of was all-encompassing of all the other letters. I really like that logo. In fact, I was a product tester at one time for you guys when you guys, involving other people, which is really cool. And I got the 3 t-shirts from you guys. I still have them. They're really, really cool. And it just had the R. And, you know, you were testing different materials and cuts, I guess, of the shirt. I'm probably not using the right terminology, but that was really cool.
Yeah.
I still have those shirts. And I remember you guys like updated the logo at one time. You just changed the color. It was like this bright green, which is kind of like my thing, like the bright green, like my drum set's that color. I call it the kryptonite. But I was like, oh man, I wish you guys make that, you know, the R with the bright green logo. That one was really, really sweet. But
wow, you're pretty old school.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. It took me this long to talk to you, man. But yeah, I'm old school ripped. Yeah, me and my buddy Mike, my sister, my wife, we have so many ripped shirts, man. It's epic.
That's great. That's really great to hear. Thanks. I'm glad to know you're a supporter.
Definitely.
And yeah, the logo is not a lot of people get that the segmented R logo is actually all the letters of the name. It's kind of a little secret, I guess. We don't really call it out, but
I guess I blew your spot right there. But yeah, it took me a while to figure it out though. But yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I guess that's my graphic design degree accounted for something. So that's that's the culmination of my my branding.
Nice, man.
It's my favorite logo, I guess.
Oh,
We also have the mascot now, the Reaper. We don't really have a name for him yet, but one of our in-house artists, Obvian, or Nathan Davis is his real name. He kind of illustrates that guy, and you know he's the one that kind of tends the graveyard, the t-shirt graveyard, takes the shirts to rest. So you might see him around here and there on specific promo graphics.
Nice. Yeah, that was actually literally my next question. So good job out of you, man. You read my mind. I was going to say, what's with the, you know, the Grim Reaper kind of thing? And I assumed it had to do with the graveyard, which for those who don't know is where the old shirts have gone after they've had their day of living, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, that's what RIP stands for. It's Rest in Peace t-shirts. That was kind of the concept that we came up with when we were originally pitching the idea. We didn't have a name to start with. We're just like, oh, we're going to make this website and this is what's going to happen. And we kind of thought, actually, it was Matt and TJ that pitched the name to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, it sounds actually really good. Then we kind of came up with the graveyard idea, you know, like we'll have, it's just kind of part of branding, setting us apart from some of the other entities that are out there. And I think it was a good move in the beginning. Because it was kind of right about a year after we started, like the whole industry, like just kind of exploded. And there was like, I mean, there's been almost 100 websites that have tried to do what the Shirt A Day industry does and that have kind of come and gone. But we've kind of stuck there, you know, with our, I don't know, I just think our name is kind of unique and it does have some meaning if you look into it. And I think people, you know, it resonates with people. People that like to stick with the brand, they catch on to all the little nuances that make us special.
Definitely, man. And I did not know that little rest in peace tidbit. We're getting all the secrets out on the podcast, man. This is the good stuff, man. See, I didn't know that rest in peace thing. That's really cool. All right, now something I've been dying to ask you, man. I know people want to know the answer to this, if you want to answer, obviously. But, you know, I know some of my favorite t-shirts. Someone did the Jordan, the Jumpman with Spidey and the cap shield. That is like my all-time favorite shirt from Ripped. I should probably know the artist who did it and give them credit, but excellent job. That's my favorite. I got the Everything Is Awful with the Lego Oscar the Grouch. That's a cool one. My bass player Max has the Zelda one with the Rorschach test. That's really cool. My wife has the Mario Kart Force Awakens one. That one's so good. We have so many, man. So what are your favorites, if you even want to say? Which ones are your favorites?
Man, I mean, I've seen probably 15,000 t-shirt designs at this point.
Yeah.
And I always, when I see certain ones, I'm like, yeah, this is the best ever, you know, and then I forget because we're always looking at so many so many designs. I mean, I should have thought of this ahead of time. I really have to think. But
no, man, no worries, some, man.
There's probably some Aliens design that I really like, or an Ava Evangelion design.
Nice.
Typically, I really like our in-house guy, Nathan. I like his designs a lot. Or it's more like I like certain artists.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we don't play favorites in that sense. Like when we get submissions, we actually don't know who designed the shirt until we've selected it. And that's kind of by design.
Good way to do it.
Yeah, we try to keep it as unbiased as possible. But it is a little difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's just obvious, like, who's designing what. But there was some cat shirt by Hillary White that I really loved. It was, like, kitty proof.
Okay.
And it was a spoof on, it was like, here it is, kid proof. And it was the Death Proof.
Yep.
You know, the movie is yep. like in that style, but it's Toonsis, the driving cat from Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
Back in the day. So it's like this cat driving this car, and they're not about to, they're about to go off a cliff, but you can't really tell in the.
That's clever. That's clever, man.
Drawing. Yeah, it's just, I like the weird ones, you know.
No, hey man, to each their own, man. There's some good ones. The Donkey Kong kind of setup one, I love with the Ghostbusters. That's one of my favorites. That Jumpman, though, I love, you know, I like the ones that have some kind of sports tie-in sometimes, too. So that Spider-Man with the shield and the, oh my gosh. I will have to give the artist credit. I should have looked it up beforehand, but great, one of my favorite t-shirts.
That one was by Scott Nielsen.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's called Park Air.
Yeah, well, even better, man. That just makes it that much better just because of the name. So, Scott Nielsen, awesome shirt, one of my favorites. And the kids that I teach, they love it, too. They say, why do they have Captain America's shield? You know, I was like, well, he's like the jump man, you know? Some of the kids got the Jordans, you know what I'm saying? So, awesome shirt.
Catching it. Yeah, sometimes the titles, you know, are really great. But it's unfortunate because sometimes, you know, if you're just wearing the shirt out, you don't get the title. Like, you'd have to almost, like, know it on hand when someone says, oh man, that shirt's so cool, and you can tell them the name of it, and it makes it even funnier.
Yeah,
it's on the website, you know, people see the title and the image, they put it together, so that, you know, that makes people really happy when the name really fits with the design.
So let's talk about this Ripped Artists community. You know, I've had the pleasure of being part of it. It's really cool. It's a lot of people supporting each other. You know, take someone like me. I have a lot of great ideas. You know, I'm like, oh, this is a home run. You know, mash this up. This is a good mashup. This is a good parody. Putting them on paper. Okay, that's, you know, I could do that. Not too shabby. But getting it from paper on a computer, that's the tricky part for me. You know, yeah. I'm more of a sketch kind of guy. I'm not, you know, a graphic design kind of guy. And I've used the different programs. I've used the different tutorials. And I'm not there yet. But everyone's been super helpful. I have a question. Everyone asks. And in the Ripped Artist group, you know, everyone kind of presents their ideas a little bit, gets some feedback, and everyone helps each other out. It's such a positive thing. I think it's friendly competition. How did that all start? And what do you guys think of this Ripped Artist group?
Well, the Ripped Artist Group has gone through many, many iterations over the years, and there's a lot of people in it, which some artists like and some don't. It's kind of, there's a changing of the guard pretty frequently. Like, there's always about maybe 50 to 100 people that are pretty active, even though there's like 1,500 people in there. Having a big group like that has its ups and downs. And the way I've always felt about it is that we don't want to cut anyone off. We don't want to we don't want someone to feel like they don't belong there,
right?
Even if they're brand new, you know. So like every time you submit a design, you get an email saying, "Hey, thanks for submitting the design. By the way, join our artist group for feedback and communicating with other people." So we're always inviting people to get into it, and so everyone's at a different level in there. There's some people that are. They've been with us forever. There's some people that have come and gone. There's people that have come, gone, and come back. And then there's always new people as well. And just like you described, I mean, a lot of people don't have, like, if they haven't been printed at a daily site, there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of mystery around how it works. And throw upon that the possibilities galleries that we have occasionally, usually every week we have that. A lot of people get confused on like, why didn't my design print, or you know, this had so many votes, I thought this was going to be a slam dunk. You know, like part of those questions come up from time to time, and they're always difficult to ask or answer, especially publicly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because you're dealing with expectations that could be through the roof, and plus everyone's kind of hanging on what, you know, the response might be. And I guess I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it sometimes, because I do love it. I cultivate it, and I try to continue it growing. But there are just certain questions that we aren't going to answer in that group. You know, and those are usually around, like, why did my design not get picked? Because we get that – if we answered that question all the time, that's all we do, because there's so many people submitting. And it's just we can only give people the response that they already get via email, which is, hey, it was either declined or it wasn't. And we can't really – it's like a rabbit hole that never ends if we're like, well, if you change this, maybe it'll be better. And then they change it and it's still not quite what we were looking for. And then they want to know why it still didn't get picked. So it's just a very touchy subject and a touchy place to be.
But hey, I
really love it. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, not to cut you off, I was saying, I get it, man. You know, just because it's popular, you know, doesn't mean it's going to sell. You know what I'm saying? Just because it gets a lot of votes, you know? You really, like we were talking about all these shirts that were home runs, you know? Sometimes you just know, sometimes it's close, you know? Sometimes it's a good concept, you know, but doesn't mean it's going to sell. Go ahead. Right, even, absolutely.
Even my favorite design that I mentioned, I just looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, that one didn't really sell very well, but I still remember it. You know, it's still like, emotionally, I thought it was great.
Totally. So,
and we have to – every design we choose, you know, we're not just choosing them because we think they're cool. We have to be thinking about our customers all the time. So it's always – like if our artists aren't making money, then we aren't making money. So it's a give and take there. We have to make sure that we're doing – we're always trying to make the right decisions every chance we get. And we have to make decisions all the time like that. And so – we can't really explain them constantly as well. But I love right now we did just change the artist group a little bit where, you know, I don't know if everybody outside of the t-shirt realm knows this, but there's a lot of art stealing that goes on Facebook and across all these websites. People are kind of scared to show their work.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're worried someone might just snatch it up and put it in Photoshop and be able to sell it on another website that prints on demand. And it's always a concern for artists. So recently I just set up a sort of basically you have to sign up and I want your personal contact information and attach it to your name so that in case of any sort of issues, I can mediate the problem privately. Because it's often difficult with all these artist personas, it's difficult to know who is actually who at times. And some people have multiple, you know, names. Like they have their artist name, they have their artist page, their artist account, and then their actual Facebook account. And it's just really difficult to get to the bottom of situations of like who did what, when, and why if I can't actually reach out to them via email or on the phone. It can become what I call a witch hunt sometimes if people think that a particular other artist stole their work or something. And it's not always the case. A lot of times people come up with the same idea around the same time because it's just relevant to the moment. You know, like I'm sure that Scott Nielsen isn't the only person to ever put a superhero in a Michael Jordan pose.
Sure, definitely. And, you know, like, right, like for instance, that you know, the Star Wars The Last Jedi poster came out. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of, you know, parodies of that one, you know, and some people might have the same idea, you know. But
funny you should say that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there.
Oh, okay. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, okay. I got you, man. We'll see what happens. We're getting everything out there today, man. but good stuff, man. But actually, in the artist group, another positive about that, obviously, you kind of have a direct line to everyone in that Facebook artist group, and we do appreciate that. But also, I see people looking out for each other. You know, hey, I think someone stole your design. You know, so people kind of got each other's backs. It seems like, for the most part, it seems like a very positive community.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, build relationships in that community. They get to know each other from commenting on, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And I think that sometimes we get, you know, collaborative artists through that. And that's really great. I love seeing that kind of positive growth happen in there. So it's definitely a good thing.
Definitely.
It's definitely something I like to look at, you know, as often as I can. And I can't comment on every piece that's in there, but like, I just finish a task online and I just need to unwind, I should check the artist group and see what's going on. And I'll try to stir up some conversation here and there too. Like, hey, what do you guys think if Rip did this? Or if we're going to make a change here and there? And we try to get real good feedback from the people that would directly be, you know, directly affected by it. Like if we were going to change artist payout or something, you know, I'll post, I'll definitely mention something in the artist group first to get feedback, because everything that we do for what we believe is a positive reason, but there's stuff that we just don't realize is going to happen. And that's why it's great to get that kind of feedback. You know, like we just changed our art submission process pretty significantly. And, you know, I thought it was perfect. Like, hey, everything's better now. You can actually see your design mocked up on a shirt before you submit it, so you can see how it looks, you can change the colors. But the downside is that you have to be a little more specific with the file you upload. So there's like a little bit of, it's kind of an uphill battle. You know, it used to be a little easier to just submit a JPEG, but now it allows us, we're trying to get to the point where we can schedule art sooner.
Hey, right, that's now, great. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're scheduling stuff out, you know, 2 to 3 weeks from the day we schedule it, and which is great, and that's mostly for a marketing, like an in-house marketing and production schedule thing, because once we schedule the art, then we need to get it from the artist, whereas back in the original days of Ripped, you had to submit the final artwork so we could instantly go scramble to put it together to send to the printer, but a lot of people didn't like that because they're submitting their full print ready pieces of art and they might not even get printed. So it's kind of a lot of work for the artist to do. Plus there's a trust factor there.
Sure.
I believe after all this time, we've built up a lot of, you know, good rapport with the artist community and they do trust us at this point. But, you know, back in the beginning, like if I was an artist, I would have been a little scared to send my, you know, print ready piece to a company that could definitely print it without my knowledge, you know, but that's not something we would ever do.
No, you guys are a first class organization all the way. No doubt about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. And just, you know, this is something people, you know, definitely want to hear from you, man. What, like someone like me or artists like trying to get printed at Ripped, conceptually, technically, what is your advice to, or even aspiring artists, what is your advice to someone who wants to get printed on Ripped one day or wants to take it to the next level? What advice would you give them from the man, the myth, the legend himself? What would you give them?
Well, creatively, I would say, you know, try to draw what you love. Try to make something that you would want to wear. You know, like something that you think makes sense to you, but also be careful of getting too far in your own head. You know, there might be, you might be really into anime, let's say, and you've been drawing a lot and you can craft this awesome t-shirt, but it's some anime that's never been dubbed in English and never broadcast in the United States. And, you know, you can make this awesome illustration that's a total inside joke for this anime that not a lot of our customers have probably ever seen. So that would probably, and I've probably never seen either. So the chances of that being selected for print are probably pretty low, just based on our knowledge of our customer base and what we think they're going to want. Because it might look awesome, but is point those people that are going to want that design. So I guess, you know, do stuff you love, but also be aware that it has to speak to other people as well. And typography is very important. You can't just take a font and slap the whatever the, you know, whoever's gym on there. It'll be pretty obvious if you just used a font. You know, should take a lot of care with your typography as much as you do with your illustration. And I think Ripped is specifically kind of illustration heavy. And I think that might be kind of my, you know, influence. I see stuff and I'm always critiquing the illustration and the typography and how it works together. And I'm often telling, you know, the in-house guys like, hey, you know, you should hand render that type, or, you know, you should, the composition is lacking in these areas. You know, it's like really basic design principles are really important. And it also has to look good on a t-shirt. And it's really, that's kind of a hard thing to explain, other than it just looks good or it doesn't. I mean, for instance, some designs might look amazing as a poster because they have a border on them and they are almost a poster-like thing to begin with. But on a t-shirt, that's going to be what we call a brick, like a brick of ink on your chest, mm-hmm. which is not always – sometimes it works. I'll definitely admit that there are times when we've printed that and it works, but there's ways to make it look better on a t-shirt, like distressing edges to make it kind of fade into the actual shirt color, or just making sure something looks symmetrical if it is supposed to be symmetrical. Like asymmetry is good too, but it just has to work for that specific design. And also, I'm not a big fan of like looking at all a bunch of work to try to get ideas. I like to try to come up with it straight from my own mind. But a lot of people prefer, you know, if they're going to say they want to do a shirt with a specific superhero drinking beer, you know, they'll try to find every example of that concept that's out there and then try to do it themselves. But that's dangerous because then you're being influenced by other people's designs that they've already created, and those artists might come knocking if you have, you know, they might believe you plagiarized their piece. So I think it's a tightrope to watch, and the more you can do from your own brain, the better. You know, like come up with at least a solid sketch or a rough. I wouldn't go all the way to finish it, you know, and then maybe look and see what's out there to make sure that you haven't, you know, already, you're not rehashing something that's been done to death.
Absolutely, man. Well said. And I'll tell you what, you covered a lot of ground in that. I always put a little quote in my little description, man, so I got some good stuff from you there. And you answered one of my questions concerning the font. You know, you were saying kind of do all those fonts by hand. So that's good to know, man. That's important.
Well, don't do every – there's tricks, you know. Like you can still use fonts. I mean, I'm not saying don't use fonts. I'm just saying make it – it has to just be really relevant – to your piece. I often see stuff where I instantly know what font it was, and I can tell that they didn't kern it, or they didn't treat the type with respect. They just threw it on there because they thought it has to say what it has to say. And I mean, it's kind of hard to describe some of this stuff without visual aid because we're talking about, you know, imagery. But not everything has to be hand rendered. That's just sometimes a design. When you're putting text with a highly illustrated piece, like the type just sticks out like a sore thumb, and if you hand illustrated it the same way you did your drawing, it will mesh much better.
Well said, man. That makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you guys right now, everyone listening that's an artist, Paul knows his stuff, man. You can't pull a fast one on him. He knows all those fonts. He knows all the little tricks out there. So just, you know, heed his advice.
I've definitely had a few fast ones. Hold on.
Oh, no. Well, that's how you learn, right, man? Yep. All right.
Well, that's kind of why I instigated this kind of artist sign up on our artist group.
Sure.
Because I couldn't tell if a design who actually stole it from who, or if it had even been stolen at all. You know, it's just one of those things where I had to do a lot of forensic work and still was confused. And if I had just been able to contact each artist individually, I probably could have gotten to the bottom of it immediately.
Yeah, hey, I got you, man. I know you're a busy man, so I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I got just a few more things I want to ask you. First off, are we going to ever have a graveyard robbing, I believe, as you guys phrase it again, where we get some of those old shirts back? That's always kind of exciting, but I know it's a rare thing, but I got to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, right now, we've kind of changed the way we do things a little bit, and we have started trying to do 7 reprints a week.
Right, okay, right, I'm with you, yep.
So we've actually been, you know, reviving, if you will, some of the graveyard shirts, some of our favorites or some of our best sellers, alongside new designs. And it's just something we tested for a week and it worked really well. So we're like, oh, well, maybe this is what people want. Maybe they really just want some of these older designs again. And I mean, some of those designs are available. The artists still own all of them. So whether they have it up for sale elsewhere is their prerogative. But some of them we just wanted to, you know, put back at the low $13 price point and, you know, let people have them again. Because usually if you're putting it on demand site, it's like $20 to $25.
So yes.
It's kind of special to bring back a reprint as a daily. We also have been doing bringing back some graveyard tees in our exclusive store as well.
Yes.
Which is, we basically, when we started, you know, the customers really bought into the idea that this was only available today and then it was going to rest in peace forever. That was kind of one of our taglines. And as the industry has expanded and kind of saturated a bit, you know, there's all these websites vying for shirts. So the artists are like, well, I'll just sell it again and I'll sell it again and I'll sell it at this place. And so something for us, we've been trying to kind of capture that idea again, that the stuff is, you know, that it really is the only time you're going to be able to buy it. So that's why we've been increasing our exclusive collection. So those designs are only available at Ripped. Even though we have allowed some of them to be in our Anytime store that are available for a higher price. But, I mean, it's the higher price that, you know, isn't as exciting as the $13 price point. But if you really need that design, it's still there. Not everything that's in the graveyard is there, but a lot of them. A lot of our in-house artwork is.
Awesome, man. It sounds like you got, all your bases covered. We got 3 daily shirts. We got some throwbacks. We have Ripped exclusives. We got coasters. We got posters. We got hoodies. We got, you know, something for the little ones. So I got to ask you, man, I know we covered a lot of ground. If you can tell me, man, I know some things are probably under wraps here, but what does the future hold for Ripped? Are we getting 4 shirts a day? What, can you tell me anything what the future holds for the company?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think we've done a lot of experimenting this year. And like every week, there's been a new sale, a new grouping of T-shirts, either from a featured artist or a specific topic that we think makes sense, or a collection of shirts that all go together. That will continue throughout the year. I call that the weekly cycle.
Right.
As far as new products, I mean, we've been really, we've been dabbling in some other things. We actually just launched tote bags again. Well, we've sold tote bags in the past, but we weren't super excited with how they turned out. I mean, they were pretty good and we did them in house, but we ended up curbing that for a while. And we found a new type of bag that we really like. It's a little more expensive, but it's bigger. You can fit vinyl records in it if you want. You can probably fit a whole record player in one of them. But it has a really nice full color print on one side, and on the back side has a new branding image that I worked with our in-house artist Nathan on. It's basically like a cluster of Reaper graphics, different poses the Reaper's been in. It's just kind of fun. If you're in the artist group, it's a sneak peek of that is the banner image at the top.
Nice.
And those bags, I think they're awesome. But we've also dabbled in potentially doing some new products for, you know, when school gets back in session. Don't really want to talk about them because I just don't know what is actually going to happen and what isn't.
I got you, man. Stay tuned, everyone. Stay tuned. We'll see what Rip's got coming, what, back to school time?
Yeah. There should be some cool stuff. I mean, I am excited.
Awesome, man. I got some ideas, man. All right, cool. So getting a little bit of everything, Paul. I appreciate it. And real quick, man, I don't know if you guys got any sales coming up, any promo codes coming up. And of course, as I always like to do here on the Bob Culture Podcast, shameless plugs. Obviously, we have rippedapparel.com. If you're an artist, you can try to join the Ripped Artist Group. You know, if you're somebody who's going to go steal everyone else's work or be a jerk, we don't want you, you know. But if you're a creative type and you think you can contribute to Ripped, which is the best t-shirt site out there, you know, you can look for it. And I guess there's, you know, obviously a new procedure to be part of it. But anything going on, any promo codes, any sales, anything else you want to plug, any shout-outs?
Well, we just got back from C2E2 last weekend.
Yes.
And usually when that happens, we have, you know, we don't sell out of everything, but we usually do a little bit of a sale on our exclusive products that are pre-printed and ready to go. So I think as soon as we get the inventory counted back from that, you might expect some sort of flash sale.
Nice.
I can't tell you what day it's on. Although right now we are doing a Mother's Day promo where there's 20% off select products. So
that will go
until May 1st.
Nice. Don't tell my buddy Mike. He bought like 6 to 8 shirts a couple weeks ago. I think you guys might have had a sale going on. Yeah, he's probably one of your biggest customers. He still has that Fozzie Bear Clockwork Orange shirt. That's one of his favorites. But
yeah, that's a cool one.
Classic, man. Really cool, man.
I'll tell you one thing that I've been really wanting to do, but I just haven't found the time to do it. I'd really love to make sort of an adult coloring book out of some of our exclusive designs, some of like the ones that would really be good for a coloring book. So if I can make that happen before the end of the year, that would be a really cool like Christmas time gift.
I would love that, man. That's really cool because, yeah, that's a big thing right now, those complicated coloring books. That would be really epic, man. I like the way you think. That's some good stuff.
Well, I just want to do it. I just want to have my own.
Oh, for you? Yeah. Okay. Just for a Paul, Paul exclusive. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to, you know, I'll make a whole run of those just so I can have one.
Hey.
But I think that'd be popular with the crowds.
Hey, man. That's your right. As the founder of Ripped, which now I know is Rest in Peace T-shirts, which is pretty cool. Little tidbit there, man. All right, Paul. Awesome. And I guess we got some shout outs. You said Nathan's your in-house designer and TJ was the one who started the company with you.
Yeah. TJ and Matt, TJ Mapes, Matt Engelby and me, Paul Freemel. We're the founders and we've been with this since, you know, 2009. And, our in-house artists at the time are Nathan Davis and Alex Palicki. I didn't get a chance to mention any of his work, but he's also a powerhouse. I mean, I'm really lucky to work with these guys. We have a lot of fun. Like, our creative meetings are, they can be pretty silly sometimes.
Hey, man.
We're just, like, pitching weird ideas to each other, and it's actually a lot of fun. That's probably my favorite part of the week, is working with those guys.
Oh, that's awesome. What a guy. And class act all the way. And it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun over there. And I think it reflects in the way you guys portray the company. So check them out, guys, rippedapparel.com. Paul, thanks for a few minutes, man. I know you're a busy man. Hopefully we talk again sometime in the future. And everyone keep your eye out for some sales, man.
Well, thanks a lot. Really appreciate you having me on.
Dude, thanks for your time, man. And I'm probably going to be looking at some t-shirts tonight, man. So check out some throwbacks. All right, Paul. Good to talk to you, man. Be good, man.
All right. Peace.
Peace.